שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the sixth day, based Batamus, Parashas Chukas, Tavshinayin Vav, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 7 July 2016, webcasting from the hills of Judea in high summer, when lots of Israelis go traveling. So it's been another slow news day. The Prime Minister spent another day in Africa, in Ethiopia, I think. And I don't recall any news about any attempted Talmid human sacrifice of the Hamites, a.k.a. the daily human sacrifice these Arabs try to carry out most days these days against Jews. Yesterday, though, in Gush Etzion, an Ishmaelite rammed a vehicle, an army vehicle, and shook up three soldiers in the crasp, but otherwise it was a quiet day. Oh, the Jerusalem Post reported that yesterday the Arab assassin Mahmoud Abbas said the Security Council should reject the text of last week issued by the Quartet. He wanted the Quartet to blame Israel completely for the stalled peace talks. And he presumed that he, and was angry because America was insistence in watering down the text, or words to that effect. So in response to his expression of upset, the U.S. followed up the next day with what the Post called an unusually harsh American statement by, quote, criticizing Israel for the Jewish population growth over the pre-1967 lines, both in East Jerusalem and in Area C of the West Bank, also known as Judean Samaria. Yeah, we haven't really heard that before, the Jewish population growth. Oh, Pharaoh didn't like that either. Mind you, this is the voice of the Jerusalem Post, which is run by nominal Jews, who prefer West Bank over Judea, and that fact speaks volumes about them and their relationship to their Jewish identities. A Jew who cannot say Judea and prefers to cover it up with the sterile West Bank is a Jew with a psychological kink that needs to be ironed out. Of course, the Americans followed up with this harsh criticism in order to placate the Arab Muslim assassin Abbas for weakening the Quartet statement and highlighting the truth that his side incites to murder and approves violence. The statement did bring that up. Arabs Muslims are subcivilized, and they cannot cope with accusations of guilt, which the Quartet included. And the Jerusalem Post does not help matters by continuing to call this man the Palestinian Authority President, which is a delusion that the J-Post only perpetuates. This man's term of office ended 7 years ago, and there have been no elections since then. He is therefore the ex-president, even though that title is also a delusion. Presidents commonly rule states, not authorities, whose administrators are commonly chairmen. By calling him the president of the Palestinian Authority, one supports him in his delusion that he's still a president and that there is such a thing as a state of Palestine that has a president, then he's the man in charge. We live in a world of lies. Alma Deshikha, the world keeps afloat this fantasy of a Palestinian nation whose entire country was stolen from it by the evil Jews, and he is the president of this nation. That's another downside to the blunder that the Prime Minister made in 2009 in his Bar-Ilan speech, confirming his own participation in the fantasy. You know how some little boys and girls invent invisible friends, and they want you to say hello to them? Well, Bibi did something like that at Bar-Ilan, saying more or less, yes, yes, I too believe in the tooth fairy and the existence of a Palestinian nation that was done wrong by the Jewish nation, and the Jewish nation is prepared to compensate the offended nation whose entire country it had wronged. No good can come from confirming the world in this cracked version of history. Rewriting history is what Winston Smith does, the main character in Orwell's Nightmare Vision, 1984. Smith works in the Ministry of Truth, where he every day rewrites the previous day's official newspaper, and what is deleted is then dropped down what they call the memory hole, a vacuum tube disposal system. His job as a government bureaucrat every day was to rewrite the history of the day before. And that's what Palestinian nationalism is. It's the flip side of Holocaust denial, which is a true mental disorder. Denying the Holocaust is clearly a mental disorder, a kind of hysterically induced amnesia, which is functionally psychotic in magnitude. Was there ever in human history such a campaign of massacre like the Holocaust recorded in newspapers and radio broadcasts and film and personal diaries, government reports, photographs, military operations, telegrams, still rusting weapons used during World War II are to be found. Newsreels of the liberation camps, the mounds of skeletal corpses bulldozed into great pits, to deny the Holocaust is truly some kind of major mental paralysis. Holocaust deniers see Jews as devils deserving no sympathy. Jews are never to be objects of pity, only homicidal hatred, so they must deny the Holocaust. And I put in the same category Palestinian nationalism, which is the fantasy of Jewish perfidy perpetrated on another people, the grand theft of this other people's entire country. And every day since then, the Jews have been persecuting these victims of theirs. Holocaust deniers are rightly judged in the West to be cuckoo. But when it comes to defending the Palestinian nation from the allegedly evil Jews, that fantasy goes unchallenged. Worse, Jews like the journalists at the Jerusalem Post support it, keep it afloat. Why? The entirety of the BDS movement is rooted in this anti-Semitic fantasy that there's a Palestinian nation, and it was unjust of Zionism to take this country away from the Palestinians. And the other day, Ken Livingstone said something like this. He said, the creation of Israel was a terrible thing. It never should have happened. And when the Prime Minister and the Jerusalem Post and Israeli embassies and consulates around the globe are confronted by hostility to Israel, they bow and scrape and insist that they're pro-Palestinian too. They too want to see a Palestinian state, but the Palestinians are not cooperating. I hope that between now and 6 months from now, the Muslim anti-Semite in the White House does us no more harm before he leaves it, and Donald Trump takes over. Then it may be time to restructure our relationship to the Arabs here and the world by returning to the truth of the 1950s, when there was no Palestinian nation and the violence was the Arab-Israeli conflict, the Arabs' ongoing refusal to respect the right of the Jewish people to have their own country, have their own state in their ancient homeland. Since the 1970s, by contrast, the narrative has been turned upside down. Today it's the Jews who refuse to respect the right of the Palestinians to an independent state in their ancient homeland. Same story, same plot, only now the actors in the drama have switched roles. Now it's the Jews oppressing the Arabs and refusing to let them rule themselves in a state in their ancient homeland. It is a psychodrama in which the Arabs steal the persona of the Jews, and the Jews are turned into Nazis. This is the narrative of the Nakba. The Arabs are slaves of their envy of the Jews, and they covet what we have, and that includes even the anti-Semitism that we have suffered from. They're jealous of that. In the Arab mind, the Jews have used anti-Semitism to emotionally blackmail the world into letting them have their own state as compensation for the Holocaust, so they see the flight of Arabs in 1948 as their Holocaust, their catastrophe. And in this scenario, it's the Jews who perpetrate the crime. They're responsible for the Nakba. The Jews are acting like racist oppressors, just like the Germans with their Nazi ideology acted against the Jews. In 1975, the UN General Assembly expressed the judgment that unique among all the movements of national liberation that created states to enter the UN, over 100 of them after the war, Israel's national movement was the only one that was a form of racism. As Nazism was a form of racism. And so in their envy of anti-Semitism, the Arabs have not only invented a Nakba that never happened, this state of mind would also later concoct Islamophobia, which is on a verbal par with national Palestinian nationalism. Islamophobia was meant to mirror anti-Semitism. If anti-Semitism is an irrational hatred of a certain religion and or nationality, on the basis of delusions about this people and this religion, so people who don't like Islam also suffer from an irrational, baseless antagonism. Their hostility to Islam has nothing to do with the teaching of Islam and its practitioners, and everything to do with the ugly bigotry of the Islamophobic.
אל תהרוג על אפי כמים אי נפשי תהרוג מלך האלוקים
From Psalm 42, verses 2 and 3. Yeah, another slow news day here, which results in seeing in the newspaper such trivia that was nonetheless symbolically significant as a photo in Israel Hayom today of little Muslim children on the Temple Mount yesterday, the last day of Ramadan, Eid al-Fitr is the name, and they're all dressed up in Hamas costumes and carrying toy assault rifles, their faces covered in keffiyehs, demonstrating ostensibly in favor of the Hamas prisoners held in Israeli prisons. But what stood out was the costume and the weapons that these boys were play-acting with, whose primary targets in real life of these weapons are helpless, defenseless Jews, whom they are taught to murder as part of the jihad. This is another verbal pivot I think Israel has to make. Stop calling Hamas Hamas. It's the Muslim Brotherhood, whose ideology is the same as that of ISIS. The Brotherhood was founded in 1928 to push back against the social upheaval following the collapse of the Ottoman Empire during World War I and the reforms instituted by Ataturk to make Turkey a more Western culture. A prime example, he ordered the country to stop writing Turkish in Arabic letters and use the Western alphabet. Ataturk liberated women, horrors. And in response, an Egyptian school teacher in Port Said, Egypt, Hassan al-Banna, created the Muslim Brotherhood. He saw rightly that this westernization and the fostering of a Turkish national identity in Turkey was opposed to a Muslim identity and the creation or perpetuation of the caliphate, not creating another modern national state. The Muslim Brotherhood was founded to wage war against Western civilization. That is Hamas. That was Fatah at birth as well. Founded by eight men who all had grown up in the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, it was Arafat's father who founded the Brotherhood in Mandatory Palestine in 1939 on direct orders of Hassan al-Banna. Arafat was a 10-year-old boy at the time. He grew up in the Brotherhood. In other words, like the Western academics who came up with the new words Islamism and Islamist, the divide separating Fatah and Hamas, one is allegedly secular, the other Islamic, is wrong. It's artificial. They're both Hamas. The reason there has been no election since 2009 among the Arabs in Judea and Samaria is the certainty that, like the one in 2006, when Hamas garnered 75% of the votes, it would again. There has been no pressure, therefore, on Israel from the PA, from the U.S., for new elections. Everyone knows the results would be the same. The Fatah has become like the SLA, the South Lebanese Army, was from 1985 to 2000. Locals allied with Israel against the PLO, before Israel abandoned them in 2000 under Ehud Barak. Israel sustains Fatah today as a bodyguard against Hamas, and Hamas and Fatah sustains itself by its collaboration with Israel. They know that if some morning they wake up and discover Israel has completely gone, all the PA big shots would be tortured to death by sundown. So this picture of these little Arab boys on the Temple Mount yesterday, dressed as if on Halloween in Hamas camouflage costumes holding imitation military weapons, makes a statement about the heart of the conflict here. The imagery on the other side is always religious, for there is no historical Palestinian culture to draw upon for such demonstrations. Like that new $24 million Museum of Palestine that opened completely empty of all Palestinian artifacts and objets d'art from this phantom nation, because it's all an illusion sucked out of a water pipe packed with high-grade Lebanese hashish. The truth of the conflict is right there in this photograph, for in the background is the Dome of the Rock, which sits on our Temple Mount where the temple stood, which these sons of brigands, desert brigands, claim is theirs because their religion tells them so. And it's not a religion that encourages asking questions. I've seen Arab school rooms in action where the children squat on the floor and bark in unison memorized verses of the Quran. Rote learning is their understanding of what education is. A critical thinking, skepticism, intelligent debate play no role. I believe Israel could benefit from a new way of dealing with the Arabs here, besides the failed entering into their fantasy life and confirming them in their belief in the Palestinian narrative. Instead of catering to their delusions, challenge them. Israeli TV in 1981 aired a majestic, multi-hour TV documentary on the history of Zionism, a documentary called Pillar of Fire, and I think Israel needs to reissue it with an Arabic soundtrack, and it should be broadcast on Israeli TV for all the Arabs here to see and learn from. Israel will not lose by creating other programming in which the presenters are Arabic-speaking Israeli Jews who do the news and other documentaries to broadcast to the Arabs to counter the lies of their own media, sort of like a Voice of America or Radio Europe during the Cold War that beamed into the captive Soviet bloc states. Israel needs as well to train its diplomats to start talking about the Arabs in Judea and Samaria, not Palestinians. For every time someone uses that term, he or she deepens the lie of such a nation with legitimate national rights here. As my book shows, before the First World War, under 4 centuries of Turkish rule and more than 1,000 years of Muslim rule in its various incarnations, there had never been a Palestine. Muslims did not call this land Palestine as they do today. There are no Philistines in the Quran. On the contrary, the Paris Peace Conference that opened for business in January of 1919, by October, Haji Amin al-Husseini in Jerusalem, following events in Paris, saw the coming mandate to create a Palestine that did not exist as a Jewish homeland, and he established a newspaper in Jerusalem to fight the very idea of a country called Palestine. It was all southern Syria, he said, and that was the name of the newspaper he started publishing. And that was his view for the next 40 years. In March 1959, Nasser in Egypt came up with the idea of rebranding the Arab refugees of 1948 the Palestinians, in imitation of the Algerians at that time terrorizing the French. And in October, Arafat and friends founded Fatah, in imitation of the Algerian FLN as well. Only as evidence of the Fatah boys' upbringing in the Muslim Brotherhood, they called their group Conquest, Fatah, which in the Quran means conquest of the infidel. It's a chapter heading in the Quran. The Palestinian national identity is a ruse to cover up Islam's age-old and doctrinal murderous hatred of Jews.
אדם נולד, פתאום אדם נולד. יש לו חיים שלו, יש לו פנים שלא ראו עוד בעולם. פתאום אדם נולד, פתאום אדם נולד. יש לו צרכים שלו, יש לו דרכים שלא הלכו בהן מעולם. פתאום אדם נולד, פתאום אדם נולד. יש לו תקווה שלו, יש לו תפילה שלו. יש לו ילדות שלו, יש לו מהות שלא תתגשם. עד שיבין שהוא לא שלם וימצא לו אישה שתביא לו ברכה. ויעשו ויראו את הפלא שפתאום אדם נולד, פתאום אדם נולד. יש לו חיים שלו, יש לו פנים שלא ראו עוד בעולם. פתאום אדם נולד, פתאום אדם נולד. יש לו צרכים שלו, יש לו דרכים שלא הלכו בהן מעולם. פתאום אדם נולד, פתאום אדם נולד. יש לו תקווה שלו, יש לו תפילה שלו. ויש לו ילדות שלו, יש לו מהות שלא תתגשם. עד שיבין שהוא לא שלם וימצא לו אישה שתביא לו ברכה. ויעשו ויראו את הפלא שפתאום אדם נולד, פתאום אדם נולד. יש לו חברים שלו, יש לו אוהבים שלא יעזבו אותו לעולם. פתאום אדם נולד, פתאום אדם נולד. יש לו מילים שלו, יש לו שירים שלא שמעו עוד בעולם. פתאום אדם נולד, פתאום אדם נולד. יש לו צעקה שלו, יש לו לחישה שלו. יש לו פשטות שלו, אבל יש לו מהות שלא תתגשם. עד שיבין שהוא לא שלם וימצא לו אישה שתביא לו ברכה. ויעשו ויראו את הפלא, את הפלא שפתאום אדם נולד. יש לו שמחה שלו, יש לו אמונה שלו. יש לו ילדות שלו, יש לו מהות שלא תתגשם. עד שיבין שהוא לא שלם וימצא לו אישה שתביא לו ברכה. ויעשו ויראו את הפלא ש...
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Well, on the last webcast, I offered only a few words following the announcement by FBI Director James Comey, because I was quite confused as to what I had just seen on TV live. And I said I would wait for intelligent commentary from the States the next day to better understand what I had just witnessed. But then I saw the intelligent commentary the next day and realized everybody had the same reaction. It was, am I missing something here? Comey laid out a strong list of actions by Hillary, which, as far as I understand, the law violated the law, a whole cascade of them. But then at the end, Comey says there's no reasonable prosecutor who would prosecute any of this. What? So it was right that Congressman Jason Chaffetz today, in summoning Comey to explain himself before a committee, began his remarks by using the word mystified. And from what I gather, I could not watch the rest of the proceedings, only the opening minutes. Comey just repeated his info and his judgment that there's no cause for prosecution in the matter of Hillary Rodham Clinton and her handling of email. Today it was revealed that she swore the oath of office as Secretary of State, and that same day opened a Hillary.com, or whatever she called it, site for her private server. Comey said she transmitted over 100 classified emails and top secret emails, and she denied she ever did. He said she was extremely careless, though I don't know if today he explained the difference between that and gross negligence, which is the legal language in the statute. I know that Rudy Giuliani, under whom Comey had worked in the Southern District of New York, was no less flabbergasted than I was, and everybody was. Giuliani flat out rejected Comey's judgment that nothing was grist for a prosecutor's mill. It was at least reassuring to listen to him that my bafflement was not unique, and that I was not defective in my understanding of what I had seen. Everybody was slack-jawed by Comey's performance on Tuesday. So that becomes the great mystery. Why did he do it? Perhaps he was afraid that as a Republican, a recommendation to prosecute would be seen as partisan and be dismissed for that. Maybe he reckoned this way would be the most effective way of bringing this woman down. Indeed, Republicans are saying there was so much damage in his fact-finding, it does not matter if she is indicted or not. I'm not so sure. I despair for the future of the United States when half the electorate is ready to vote for this woman. Still, with everything that is known, it's been an open book of scandal after scandal, chronic lying in public, incompetence, financial corruption. Are those who still ready to vote for any brains, are they thinking? Have they no critical judgment? I fear they're ready to vote for her as they voted for Obama, for an image, an idol, a manifestation of ultimately their own self-image. It's a possibility because man is known for his tendency toward idolatry, which Judaism declares war against and has from the get-go. Idolatry is ultimately the worship of the self, because the idol is the handiwork of the self. In the prophets, we read a rebuke of, quote, those who worship the work of their own hands. Comey reminded me on Tuesday as well of how Supreme Court Justice John Roberts could have but did not, should have but did not, shoot down Obama's Cuba-style health care scheme that came before the court. Instead, he proclaimed it a tax, and therefore it was legal. Instead of declaring that because it really was a tax, it was presented dishonestly to the Congress and to the American people, and for that it had to be thrown out as a deceitful ploy. He could have left room for the Congress to redo the legislation and be honest about it, call it a tax, vote on it then. Instead, he let the nonsense go through. I was reminded of that by Comey's strange decision, totally unexpected, and mishandles. For sure his judgment is off, because so many people were mystified by his turn of mind away from the laundry list of wrongs that Clinton woman committed to shrugging that the law can look the other way.
נוסעים לרבי הקדוש על ראש השנה נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי על ראש השנה נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי על ראש השנה השנה נוסעים לרבי הקדוש על ראש השנה נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי על ראש השנה נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי נוסעים לרבי על ראש השנה שכל מי ששר אל משמעתו ומקורב אליו יהיה על ראש השנה אצלו לא יחסר איש
Okay, that's it for this Thursday and for the week. And I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Shabbat Shalom, Vlada Tov, Meretz Yisrael.